Today we're celebrating Pentecost Sunday, which historically is revered as the birth of the church on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was poured out on the 120 initially and then upon thousands and thousands and thousands after that. The history of the Pentecostal movement is profound. In 1906, there was a black, half-blind pastor named William Seymour who had been seeking baptism of the Holy Spirit with signs such as speaking in tongues. He felt it was essential for the church, and he and a dedicated mixed congregation of black and white and men and women prayed diligently for an extended period of time until the Holy Spirit was poured out on them and members that were praying began to speak in tongues. Some people have argued about tongues. In fact, I still see the arguments on the internet, and some people say that it's passed away and it's of the devil. And for the life of me, I wonder why anybody would take such a negative stance about something that's so positive and God-given. See, the real gift is the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's not the gift of tongues. I might just say this again for your understanding. On Pentecost Sunday, that Sunday when they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues, that was not the gift of tongues. That was not the gift of tongues. That was the gift of the Holy Spirit, who, according to Acts chapter 2, enabled them to speak in tongues, and all of them spoke in tongues, men and women alike. The gift of tongues in 1 Corinthians 12 is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit that must be accompanied with interpretation. That is also a tongue, but it is other tongues. It is a tongue designed to speak to a congregation, and it is not for personal edification between you and God. That everybody has a right to do. Everybody. Do you guys understand this? Because there's still confusion, even among leaders, about this very simple and basic truth. The gift of tongues, 1 Corinthians 12, is for the edification of the body of Christ. It must be accompanied with interpretation. It is a manifestation of the Spirit. It is not given to everybody. Speaking in tongues is the enablement of the Holy Spirit to edify yourself, to praise God, and to intercede, and to sing on your own, and that's available for everybody. Please understand that. That's really important. And so in 1906, when this phenomenon began to reoccur in the church in Azusa Street in Los Angeles, California, a great and mighty move of God took place, and such tremendous signs and wonders were occurring that it drew people from all over the world, sick. Tons and tons of sick, crippled people of all type with all manner of diseases and deformities and infirmities came there, not just in order to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, but to receive a touch of healing and miracles that God was pouring out to illustrate to the lost and to the church He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He healed and He healed and He healed, and He used children as young as, I believe, 14 years of age, to minister healing to sick people. And multitudes got baptized in the Holy Spirit. Today, it's estimated close to 700 million people from 1906 until today have been born again and filled with the Holy Spirit and have evidence of speaking in tongues. 700 million. So we cannot say that this is a small thing. It's a major thing in the history of the church. And God has continued to pour His Spirit out and will continue to do so as long as there are people who need Him. Amen. In your bulletins today, all I want to do is just focus on the third paragraph here. The Holy Spirit is still being poured out fresh. Third paragraph. Holy Spirit is being poured out on all flesh. We who have received Him can know Him as counselor, teacher, guide, empowerer, revealer of the Father and Son, Spirit of holiness, the The one who works spiritual manifestations in and through us for our good, the down payment and sealer of our salvation, the one who baptizes us into the one body of Christ, and the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Every one of these points, and there are more about the Holy Spirit, are so valuable to our lives. Today, some of you might need to know the Holy Spirit as your guide. Some of you might need to know him for holiness' sake. Some of you might need to know him as comforter. Jesus said that after he ascended, that the Father would send another comforter, a replacement, one just like himself, who would be a comfort to his people. But the one thing that God zeroed in on as I was seeking him was that we need to know the Holy Spirit as the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Beloved, we come into this world rejected, bearing the sin of Adam, and that sin drove him from the presence of the Lord. And all mankind suffers from rejection. There's an initial rejection that we feel. There's a rejection that can be felt in the womb. When my mother was pregnant with me, forgive me if I've shared this before, but just to prove that the fetus is alive in a human, my mother wanted to abort me and struggled with my father over the problems that that would cause and the problems that they were facing as a couple because they were not married. And in my father and mother's background, the strict Italian Catholic people, it would be a disgrace. They didn't want their parents to know that they were going to abort me, yet they struggled with having me before they were married. God intervened, moving on my parents and my mother, and kept me. 35 years after I was born, thereabouts, perhaps a few years longer than that, I became aware that I had suffered from a spirit of rejection all of my life. And that spirit forced me to do things to gain approval and acceptance. In some respects, it made me a great athlete, because athletics was a way for me to get approval. It caused me to run for school offices, junior high. I became president of the junior high, whatever that means. And I ran again when I was in college, got elected. I needed to be approved and accepted. And it drove me. It became a motive behind too many things, even to the extent of wanting to be successful in business for the wrong reason, wanting to have money, look good. Well, any and everything imaginable could be traced back to a spirit of rejection. A spirit of rejection will cause rebellion. A spirit of rejection will bring about lust because of the need for approval. A spirit of rejection can produce all kinds of characteristics in your behavior that are not godly. Controlling, manipulative, angry if things don't go your way because everything has to be centered on you. It produces narcissism, which is rampant in this nation. You know what narcissism is? Rejection is a terrible thing. So one day, sitting in my office, fully aware that I had already practiced casting demons out of people, spirits of rejection, I had cast out I don't know how many like that. And there I was sitting in my office thinking, I feel rejected, and I don't know why. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, call your mom call my mom? Call your mom. So in the middle of the afternoon, I called my mom. And I said, Mom, I don't know what's going on. I was just sitting here having a time with the Lord, and he spoke to me and said, call your mom. And my mom, who was a Christian, had a word of knowledge. She knew I was going to be calling. And she said to me, I knew you were going to call. The Holy Spirit told me that you were going to call. I said, did he tell you why? She said, yes. It's because I wanted to abort you and had a change of mind. And I understood at that moment that my parents were rejecting me because I was an unwanted pregnancy. And yet God intervened. I don't know how many times he's done this throughout the history of the world where he intervened from a child being aborted and saved that child and brought it into the earth for his glory. And when my mom told me that, immediately I became aware of why I had suffered rejection. And after we talked and prayed a little bit, I sat there at my desk and I took time to command a demon of rejection to leave me. For every known human negative behavior, there can be, not necessarily, but there can be an evil spirit associated with it. And in my case, there was. Not only did I have to get emotionally healed of the feelings and thoughts of rejection, but I had to get released and loosed from a spirit that was driving me, a spirit of rejection. And when I did, I felt like weights and internal garbage just left me. And it changed me, and it has enabled me to minister to people who have suffered that. Everybody here, all of you, have suffered some rejection, some way, somehow, from someone. And you may be right now experiencing it in some event, some activity, interaction with family or friends or even enemies. People who don't know you can reject you. Carte blanche. That happens. And when you get rejected, that pain goes so deep into us that it causes all manner of wrong thinking and behavior and attitudes and emotions that surface up and become the reasons you do things, like I was sharing with you in my own life. If we cannot be honest and vulnerable with each other, we cannot really be helpful with each other. We cannot pretend that things like this don't happen to us. They do. They do happen to us. But I want to tell you the one thing that absolutely healed my soul to the uttermost. It's right here in Romans chapter 8. Let's go there. Let's begin in verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh, for if you live according to the flesh, you'll die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Verse 16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit. We are the children of God. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. The Holy Spirit does so much work in our lives. There's this difference I want to help you understand. When we are born again by the Holy Spirit, who gives new life to our spirit. We receive the character of Christ. Of course, it needs to be developed, but as born of the Spirit, we now have the Spirit in us to minister Christ in us and through us, to develop us in character. But he is also the Spirit of adoption, whereby he makes us sons of God. In Ephesians 1:5, it says, we have been made accepted in the Beloved. Let's go over to Ephesians there, and we'll look at that. Ephesians 1. In verse 4, it says, just as he has chosen us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Let's unpack that. Before you came into this world, God determined that you would be a son. He's not a chauvinist. He loves men and women equally. The term son is used in the Bible to indicate children. Before you came into this world, he chose you, desired to adopt you, predestined you to become his son. Can you think of that for a minute? How is it that the God of the universe, who made all this, the stars, the heavens, the sun, the moon, the planets, the earth, the fish, the fowl, the birds, the animals, us, our DNA, our cells, all the intricacies of life and humanity, and everything that goes along with it, this supernatural, extraordinary being is so absolutely intimate and in love with you that he chose you before all of that and predestined that you would be his own son and daughter. Do you think that's sufficient enough to heal you of any emotional wounds of rejection? If God is for us, who can be against us? If the Lord has chosen you without you making any effort on your part, what an imaginable, unimaginable love that is, to heal us of all of our brokenness and our ugliness and our retaliations and our independence and our struggles to be right and to fight with one another, to be approved, and all the nonsense that goes on, both in the world and even in the church. It causes so much disaster. It causes families to break up, kids to run away. This is the kind of God that loves us, the Spirit of adoption. And then, not only that, he makes us joint heirs with Christ. Everything that Christ has, we have. Everything. In Roman custom, this is where the history of the concept of adoption comes in. In Roman custom, if a rich Roman had no heirs, then that Roman could choose, even from among his household, including a servant, that person to become his heir, legally adopting that person, and therefore enabling that person to receive all the wealth of the rich Roman at the time of death, even though that child was not legally born in the household, but only adopted through a legal measure. So the world at the time that Paul was teaching understood adoption, having far more rights than we have ever imagined. And now in the Spirit, this phenomenal experience of making us sons and daughters of God. It says in Ephesians 3, verse 15, that the whole family, both in heaven and earth, have been named after him. He's the father of all the family to which we belong. Do you know that we are brothers and sisters with the Apostle Paul and the prophet Nehemiah and Abraham and Noah? We belong to that family. That's our heritage. What a wonderful thing. To know that we have been included. I don't know you all personally, and the Holy Spirit surely isn't going to reveal everybody's secret pains and heartaches and traumas. And in fact, I want you to be aware of this. Some of you have buried rejection. It is a wound that will fester in you. It'll pop up at the wrong times with the wrong people. Some of you have buried this hurt. It cannot remain in you. It must be healed. And the only way it's going to be healed is through Jesus Christ helping you understand with acknowledgement that you have been accepted in the Beloved. And the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of adoption, will make it true to you. The Spirit of adoption makes you know you are a child of God. That's His job. That's a wonderful thing. I need Him to heal me, to strengthen me, to restore me, to make me whole, to keep me from all the pains of rejection. If you're in this business of sharing and teaching, somebody's not going to like you, argue with you, debate with you, struggle with you, contend with you, dislike you, reject you. It happens. And how do we live with that? I live with it because I know I've been accepted, that the Spirit of adoption seals me, guarantees, is the down payment of all my eternal salvation. And He makes the Father known to me. Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes, you will know in that day, He was speaking of Pentecost, that I am in you and the Father is in you and the Father is in me. And we'll come and we'll make our abode. And they came in the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is saying, I'll help you understand Jesus, and I'll help you know the Father who loves you. I'm the Spirit of adoption. There is so much we need to know and appreciate about the Holy Spirit. It isn't funny. He's not an it. He's not a thing. He doesn't give us a little power. He is power. He lives in us to manifest Christ in us, to help develop Jesus in us, to help us be everything. As we heard a prophetic word through Joe this morning about how Christ wants to be His life in us, that's by the Holy Spirit. I'm going to say something that I don't want you to take wrong. Abraham did not have the Bible, but he had God. Noah did not have the Bible, but he had God. There are Christians that I have met as I've traveled the world who do not have Bibles. I met the Negrito Indians in the Philippines. They had come to Christ, and the Bible had not been translated into their language. They were being taught orally. But the majority of them couldn't even read. But they had God. They had the Holy Spirit. Do you understand what I'm saying? Nobody can take Holy Spirit from you. Ever. Maybe as we went over some of these activities of the Holy Spirit, something spoke to you. But for sure, knowing the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of adoption is what our Lord wants us to know today. So I'm going to pray for you and leave you to the Holy Ghost to do business with Him, either here or on your way home or at home or with friends, that God reveal to you that you have been adopted into the family of God and nobody can pluck you out. That the Spirit of adoption will heal you all of your pains, all of your rejections, because His acceptance overwhelms them. It will make you strong, less vulnerable. Your motives of activity will not be grounded in a need for approval, but in acts of love and of service and obedience to the Holy Spirit. You'll not struggle with your identity. You're wondering whether or not people like you, accept you, include you. You won't be in a difficult place if all of a sudden somebody leaves you and goes with somebody else, because you're okay. You're okay. You're okay. You've been strengthened by the truth of the Spirit of adoption. And you're clean. And your heart is right and pure. And the bondage of fear is gone. The fear of disapproval, fear of not fitting in, fear of men, all of that. Even a fear of God, the wrong kind of fear. I pray right now in the name of Jesus, that wonderful name that we were encouraged this morning to use, that you be made whole by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of adoption. By whole, I mean whole in the sense that you are no longer struggling with rejection. That Holy Spirit, minister the love of God to your heart. Shed it abroad, as it says in Romans 5. Smear it on you. Reveal the truth that God called you before you were born. Determined you would be his child. Freed you, is freeing you now from all of your wounds of rejection. And making you wholly, thoroughly accepted in Christ. As much as the Father accepts Jesus and loves Jesus, that's how much he loves and accepts you. And if he freely offered up his own son, will he not also freely give you all things? Everything you need for life, for godliness. He is a bestower of good things. He is your Abba, Father, your daddy, daddy, daddy. It's a thing that we cry out of our spirits. Abba, Father, I cry out to you today and thank you for calling me, choosing me, adopting me, accepting me, healing me, making me a joint heir with Jesus. All of that. Abba, Father. I want you just to say that. Abba, Father. Abba. It's a Chaldean word, Abba. It means daddy. Daddy. Who could imagine that we could call the God of the universe daddy? It doesn't belittle him. It's what he wants. Daddy. Father. We love you and appreciate you today. And all that you're going to do as a result of us hearing this truth. We give you praise and thanksgiving. In the name of Jesus, everybody could say, amen.